Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, all the way at the end of the page. Okay, now the Gemara is going back to what is discussed in the Mishnah. If one witness testifies somebody is a Kohen, do we make him a Kohen based on the testimony of one witness? So in the Mishnah before, there was a number of different opinions. Let's go. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't make a Kohen based on one witness. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, you do make a Kohen based on one witness. Chavav, all the way at the bottom.
Now in 26.8.3, right?
We're about to get there, yeah. Okay, so it says, the first opinion says you make one a Kohen based on one witness. Reb Yehuda says you don't. Reb Elazar says, only if there's people that question it. And then Reb Shimon Gamliel says, one witness is enough for a Kohen. Okay? So the Gemara asks, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Elazar, the same opinion. Because Reb Elazar says if there's no challengers, you base it on one witness. And that's what Reb Yehuda holds. So Reb Shimon Gamliel is the same opinion as Reb Elazar. V'chitayman, if you're going to say that the argument, the difference between the two opinions is, if only one witness challenges, meaning like this. The first opinion, Rabbi Yehuda says, you cannot make a guy a Kohen because one witness said so. You need two. You call the other dinim, you need two witnesses. Comes along, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, no, I'm sorry, Rabbi Elazar says, when can you not make a guy a Kohen based on one witness if there are people that question it? If there's nobody that questions it, you make him a Kohen based on one witness. Okay? Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you make him based on one witness. What's the difference between the last two opinions? Both are saying that a guy could become a Kohen based on one witness. So the Gemara says, if you're going to say, the difference is like this, that if people question it, one guy questions the one witness, then you don't. Okay? And Reb Elazar would hold, even if one person challenges the witness, he did not make him a Kohen. But Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you need two people to challenge the one witness. Okay? So Gemara says, is that what you're telling me? In other words, like this. Reb Yehuda says, you can never make a guy a Kohen based on one witness. Okay? Reb Elazar says, the way the Gemara is defining it now, if one witness says he's a Kohen, one witness says he's not, somebody challenges it, you don't make him a Kohen. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no. If one person challenges the witness, we do make him a Kohen. If two people challenge the witness, then we don't. Okay? So Gemara says, maybe that's what it is. The Gemara says, no. Ha'amer Rabbi Yechon, because Rabbi Yechon had said, wherever it is, David Akel and Irapach's Mishnayim. Never is there any question if one guy questions the Kohen. It has to be two. That means Rabbi Yechanan says, everybody says, if one witness, one questionable person, questions the one witness that says he's a Kohen, it's worthless. You must have two. So then the question is, what's the difference between Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon Gamliel? Reb Elazar says that you make him a Kohen based on one witness, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says, you make him a Kohen based on one witness. And if you're talking about people challenging it, Reb Yechon says, everybody says you need two people to challenge it. So then what's the difference between the two opinions? So Gemara says like this, it's a crazy case. Elahacha b'mayaskin, and here it's speaking, the muchzik lam ba'avua da'ai kohenu. This Kohen that's questionable now, everybody knew the father was a Kohen. Everybody knew the father was a Kohen. V'nafa kolel grusha kola, and then a rumor emerged about this kid. The ben grusha ben chalutzu, he's the son of a divorcee, or the son of a woman that had chalitza. Okay? V'achsinu, and therefore Bezdin demoted the guy from being a Kohen. The kid. In other words, like this. everybody knew, this guy's name is Reuven, right? We don't know if Reuven's a Kohen or not. But everybody knew Yaakov, Reuven's father, was a Kohen. Everybody knew that. No question. And therefore Reuven is this Chazaka being a Kohen. If his father is a Kohen, he's a Kohen, yeah? The problem is, now a rumor comes out that Reuven is a child of a divorcee. So then he can't be a Kohen. He's what's called a Cholo. He's not a kosher Kohen. Then Beis Din demoted him from being a Kohen. Because the rumor went out. What happened? Va'asa Eid Echad, one witness came and said, no, you're dying to be the Kohen. I know that Reuven is a kosher Kohen. Therefore, what happened? Vaskinu, they made him back into a Kohen. Then, also Beitrei, two witnesses came and said, Ben Gurusha Ben Chalutzahu, he's not a kosher Kohen. Vachasinu, and then they demoted him. Va'asa Eidach, and then one guy came and said he's a Kohen. In other words, the guy was a yo-yo. Everybody knew Yaakov was a Kohen. That was a given. Yaakov's a Kohen. Rumors went out, and therefore Reuven was a Kohen. Right? If Yaakov's a Kohen, Reuven's a Kohen. Rumors went out that Reuven is the son of a divorcee. So Bezalel said, one minute, we can't let you be a Kohen anymore. There are rumors against you. Then, two witnesses came. No, I'm sorry. One witness came and said he's a Kohen. So they made him back a Kohen. Then two people came along and said he's not a Kohen. So they demoted him again. Then another witness came and said he is a Kohen. Again, there's a very crazy case here. They're playing yo-yo with Reuven's kuhuna. First, as far as we know, if his father's a Kohen, he's a Kohen. Then, there's a rumor went out, he's not a Kohen. He's a divorced, a son of a divorcee. He's not a kosher Kohen. So Beis Din said, you know what? You're not a Kohen. One witness came and said, no, he is a Kohen. He's a kosher kid. So they made him back a Kohen. Then two witnesses came and said, no, he's not a kosher Kohen. He's a son of a divorcee. Like the rumors had it. So Beis Din said, then you're not a Kohen. Now one witness came and said, he is a Kohen. Okay, now, the problem over here is, there was a rumor, the one witness came and said he's a Kohen, two witnesses said he's not a Kohen, and then one witness said he is a Kohen. So how many witnesses say he's a Kohen? Two. How many witnesses say he's not a Kohen? Two. But that's only two against two if we could combine one and two. Because first one came himself and said he's a Kohen. Right? Then two said he's not a Kohen. Then one came and said he is a Kohen. So do we combine those two or not? Because then it's two against two. Now, if it's two against two, they cancel each other out. You back to the original Chazaka that his father was a Kohen. Right? Because they cancel each other out. So Gemara says like this. The Kula Alma, everybody says, Mitzdarf and Le'edis. The two singles become the joined. So there's two against two. What's the question? The question is, V'hacha b'meichesh de la Zelusa b'de b'deina k'mishnigi. Zelusa de b'deina like this. We can't allow Beis Din to think disgracefully of a Beis Din. There's many times a din, once Beis Din makes a decision, if you're gonna change the decision, if Beis Din changes the decision, yeah, it looks like they don't know what they're doing. Doesn't look good for the Beis Din. Now what happened over here is like this. The guy was a Kohen, rumors said no, they took him off. One witness comes, says he is a Kohen, put him back. Two witnesses come, says he's not a Kohen, took him down. One witness coming in, you know, Bezdin, let's say a bunch of morons. Right? This is the difference of opinion between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
But don't each of the ones that are the same have to be coming together? So you think
we're going to see this soon in the Gemara. Right now, the Gemara is holding that they join. Even though one came yesterday and one comes today, or the same day, but in between other two witnesses came, we still combined. This is what the Gemara is saying. This opinion holds we combined Eidus. What's the difference between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So Gemara says like this. Tanakama Sover, Rabbi Lazar holds, Kivin da Achsine, because the court demoted him. Le Maskina, we cannot elevate it again. Elevate him again. Because Chashina Lezalusa de Beinida were worried about the disgrace of the court. Because you know what happened? You're demoting him twice, and you want to make him back again. And Abshim Gamliel says, no, we're not afraid of the disgrace of Beis Din. We put him in, we demoted him, we make him elevated based on new testimony. We're not afraid of Beis Din looking like fools. This is the way the Gemara learns the argument. Rabbi Lazar says, basically, if there's no irudim, if there's no complainers against it, one witness says a guy's a kohen, we make him a kohen. The Shimon Gamliel says, no, he's always a kohen. One witness makes him a kohen. Yeah? So the Gemara explains, what's the argument? The Chayyim is saying the same thing. That if there's no complainers, the guy's a kohen. So the Gemara says, this crazy case. Yaakov was a kohen. Okay? So therefore, Reuven, his son, should be a kohen. But there was a rumor that Reuven wasn't a kohen. That he was the son of divorcee. Okay? So therefore, Beis Din demoted him. Now one witness comes and says he is a kohen. So Beis Din makes him back a kohen. Then two witnesses come and say, no, he's not a kohen. So Beis Din demotes him again. And then another witness comes and says, yeah, he is a kohen. So really, it's two against two. But Rabbi Lazar says, you can't make this guy a kohen anymore. If Beis Din demoted him twice from being a kohen, if Beis Din puts him back to be a kohen, it looks pretty bad for Beis Din. And Abshim Gamliel says, who cares? Beis Din demoted him, Beis Din elevates him. We have new testimony and that's it. We're not afraid of Beis Din changing their mind. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says you never make a guy a kohen based on one witness. Rabbi Lazar says, anytime there's a question, but the Gemara says the cases that Beis Din demoted him twice from being a kohen, you cannot make him back a kohen. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it doesn't matter, even 10 times. Okay, Beis Din could change your mind. We got new evidence, and that's it. We changed our mind. Big deal. What's the problem? We're not afraid of Beis Din looking foolish or disgraced.
Why
are
they afraid of the
coin being
disgraced?
Okay, he's a private individual. If the, by the way, this Gemara says many times, we had this in other Gemara, Zulusa de Beidina, because people need to respect the court system. If people think the court system like could be bought off for money, or they keep changing their mind,
wishy-washy,
yeah, that's what people are going to say, this Beis Din is a wishy-washy Beis Din. Let them make up their mind. Let them know what they want. So Rabbi Lazar says, you can't do that to a Beis Din. It kills the whole respect for a Beis Din. So here, Beis Din made him a kohen, took him off. Made him, took him off. Now we're going to put him back again. It looks very bad. So we keep it the way it is. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, who cares? Beis Din demoted him. They may reinstate him as a kohen. What's the big problem?
Even in capital punishment, if the verdict is ruled, if there is a ruling, and a new testimony comes, it's not acceptable.
Sure it is. If it's for leniency. Not for to kill him. In other words, Beis Din ruled guilty, and the guy says, oh, I have no proof that he's innocent, Yeah, then you make him, you retry. But if a guy was found innocent, and the guy says, I have more proof that he's guilty, then you don't listen to him. Then you don't listen to Beth. But it has nothing to do with Zelusa de Bedina. Because they say we have no evidence again. But here, and also the Gemara only says it because they demoted him twice from being a Kohen. You know what I mean? If they demoted him once, to reinstate him is not a big problem. It happens. They heard this information, then they found out the information was not true. Especially in this case. His father, Yaakov, was a Kohen. Right? So therefore, Alpidin, Reuven's a Kohen. Because his father's a Kohen, so Reuven's a Kohen. So somebody started a rumor that he's not a Kohen. So Bezin said, okay, we gotta, you know, deal with the rumors. So then Bezin found out the rumors are not true. That's not, that doesn't mean the Bezin is. But here, demoted, upmoted, downmoted, it doesn't look good. So the Balazs says, we're afraid of that. But the Maharaj, Rav Ashi is gonna ask a very simple question. So why only if one person comes to question? Even if it's two against two against two, again, the fact that Bezin's making him, demoting him, making him, demoting him, making him, is also Zulus of the Beit Din. Why does it abuse that? In other words, Abashi says, you can't interpret the Mishnah to mean that the case is the way you describe the case. Because then why is it only one and one? Why can't it be two and two? If you're afraid of Bezin going up and down, up and down, up and down, like he says, Maskul of Ravashi, he says, "Yochachi, I feel treu treinami." Even both, two witnesses, not one and one. But even if two comes, it should also not re-elevate him to kohuna because of the court's decision. So Elam and Avashi Ravari answers what you wanted to say before. B'mitzdart from the ages come a fligi. No, the question over here is like this: one witness came and said the rumors are not true. He is a kohen. Yeah. Then two witnesses came and said he's not a Kohen. Then one witness came and said he is a Kohen. Can you combine these two? Because they didn't do it together. And the Gemara is going to say, there's an argument, the Gemara is going to call the Mishnah, that says there's two opinions. If one guy comes Sunday to testify, and one guy comes Monday to testify, one opinion says we combine the two, and one opinion says we don't combine the two. They have to come together. So that's the question in this case. There was a rumor he was not a Kohen. One witness came and said he is a Kohen. Okay. But then a day later, or even a half a day later, the other witness comes and says, yeah, he is a Kohen. So you can't combine them. So it's two against one. Two says he's not a Kohen. One witness, because it's one and one, but you don't combine them to two. So he is a Kohen, so that's your problem.
This is different than being an eyewitness, that both of them have to see it together.
Why not? Well, no. No, the Gemara is going to say it's not true. They learn now from Sukkot. Says like this. Ubeplukta dahani tanoi. Okay? And this is the argument in our Mishnah of similar tanoi. The first part is not relevant to our Gemara, but the Gemara just quotes it. Tanya, ein edusim mitzarefes. Two witnesses cannot combine. Ad sheyiru shneim ke'echod. Until they say the same event. Meaning like this. Where Rashi explains the Gemara is like this. One witness says, I saw Reuven lend Shimon $1,000. I saw Reuven lend Shimon $1,000. Another witness comes and says, Shimon admitted to me that he owes Reuven $1,000. Get it? One witness says, I saw Reuven lend Shimon $1,000. And the next witness comes and says, I didn't see the loan. But Shimon admitted to me that he owes Reuven $1,000. Can those two combine? Because one didn't see what the other one saw. One saw the loan, and one heard the admission. So, technically, both are testifying that Shimon owes $1,000. But they're saying two different testimonies. One is saying, I saw the loan happen, and the other one said, he admitted that he owed the money. So, can you combine the two? So, what does it say? the first Tanya holds, the first Tanya holds, Ein Eidusa Mitztarefes, the witnesses cannot be combined, Achi Yiru Shneim Ke'echad. Both have to see the same event. That means if one saw it alone, and one heard the admission, it doesn't combine. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha says, Afilu Bezach Hazeb. Okay? Even one after the next, you do it. They combine. Okay? But that's not relevant to Agumar. Second cases. Then the Braisa says like this. Ein Eidusim is Kayam is Bebezdin, another din. Witnesses cannot testify in Bezdin. Actually, Yu'idu Shneim Ke'echad, they come together as a unit. Reb Nosson Eimer, Reb Nosson says no. Shem in Dvarev Shal Zeh Hayim, you listen to one witness on Monday, Ukshayavi Chavei Remacha, when the next witness comes on Tuesday, Shem in La, you listen to him. And this is a very interesting, this is another argument. Two witnesses testified that they saw Reuven lend Shimon $100,000. Yeah? Or even capital punishment. It doesn't matter. Either the same din. One witness comes Monday and said, I saw Reuven lend Shimon $1,000. And the other witness comes Tuesday.
So it's the same matter, they testify.
They're testifying on the exact, the first part is they're saying two different things. This guy said, I saw it alone. And this guy said, he admitted. That's one argument, if you combine the two. The second case of the Bais, no, they're saying exactly the same thing. Louis, huh?
Different time.
You accept. One comes Monday, one comes Tuesday. Can you combine them two?
Better.
So the Chachamim hold, no. And you can't combine them. And Abnasin says, listen to one guy today and one guy tomorrow, it doesn't matter.
How likely is it for two witnesses to come together? Or they didn't have newspapers those days, or anything to notify people?
No, the witnesses saw they called to Beis Din. The witnesses were called to Beis Din, whoever they were. And one guy decided to come Monday, one guy decided to come Tuesday. One guy couldn't make it Monday, and he said, okay, I'll come Tuesday.
You were thinking
it
was okay.
That's what the Rab Nosson says. Chamim, which is the halacha, by the way, they hold it's not.
That they have to be together?
No, I'm sorry. The halacha is like them. That they don't have to be together.
Because if they have to be together, then the Beis Din could say, wait until the other comes. We don't want to hear your testimony until the other comes, and then both of you together.
First of all, what happens if the guy has to leave? So whatever.
Yeah. Can't hold him. Hold him.
Okay. Can't hold him.
So it'll be the first one, but he doesn't know that another one's going to come next day.
Yeah, but even here. Anyway. But that's the case that the Gemara is discussing. The pearl, the halacha, I see, the halacha is that they could come one after the next. They could come one after the next. Yep. The reason is because can we make them into one unit?
As long as they testify in the same manner.
Well, there's two cases. One is they're testifying together that Shimon owes Reuven $1,000. But one testifies I saw it alone, the other testifies I heard him admit it.
But the second one?
The second case is they're testifying the exact same testimony, but it's on two different days. It's more logical that should be able to be good, but the only question is, are they one unit or they're not one unit? If they're one unit, they have to come together. If they're not one unit, they don't have to come together.
So they have to actually form a Beit Din to listen to the second testimony.
Yep.
They can't just walk at the time they want and then give the testimony. They have to
No, Beis Din sits and they give testimony in Beis Din. That's what it says. Sheyavei chavei lemachom. The guy will come, friend will come tomorrow, means we'll come to Beis Din. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay, this is going back to the woman that was captured. You know, she allowed to stay married to her husband or not. She was raped, not raped, or so on. Okay. So it says like this. A woman who was captured by Goyim. Ayidei Mammon, if it's because of monetary matter, muteres lebali, she could still stay married to the husband. In other words, like this. This woman owed these goyim that kidnapped her, that's the way it works. It used to work. Today in South America, it works like that now also. This woman owed the money. Or the husband owed the money, whatever. Yeah? And therefore they kidnapped her. For money. So the Gemara says, they're not going to rape her. Because then they're afraid they're not going to get their money back. They're doing it for money. For ransom. Huh? So they're not going to rape her because then they'll say, oh, you raped her, I'm not giving you the money. Okay? But, and therefore, Muteris Labayla, she's allowed to stay married to the husband. Now, Aidei Nefashis, okay? If it's capital punishment, that means she was sentenced to death by the Goyim. Then, Asura Labayla, she's forbidden to get and stay married to the husband. Okay? Okay, now, the fear over here, Rashi explains, the fear over here is, normally, a woman that, God forbid, was raped, unless if the husband's a Kohen, she could stay married to him. Right? The problem over here is, maybe she willingly did it with them. As it says, you bring down, where is it? Oh. We fear that the fact that she was continually molested by anyone, she may at some point did it willingly to her, to that, with the violators. Once she did it willingly, she cannot stay married to the husband. In other words, like this, and he brings this down at the bottom, which is interesting, halach over here. Saita, right? The husband warns the woman not to be secluded with this guy, and then she secludes with him, so then we are afraid that she willingly did it with him. But if the husband didn't warn her, yeah, the husband didn't warn her, we're not afraid that a woman, because she's secluded with a man, she committed adultery. We're not afraid of that. But with Goyim, we are afraid they raped her. And during that whole process, maybe she did it willingly with them. You know, she did it willingly for whatever reason it may be. So this is what the Mishnah says. If it was monetary, the Gemara is going to clarify this din, by the way. But the Mishnah itself says like this. If the woman was imprisoned because of monetary things, we're not afraid they're going to rape her because then they're not going to get their money. Okay? If she was sentenced to death, then the guys don't care anyway what's going to happen to her, so they'll violate her. Maybe she did it willingly, and therefore she cannot stay married to her husband. So, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok Amar Rav, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok said the name of Rav, Loi shanu, this then doesn't apply. Ela sheyad yisrael tekifa evdei kochav. This didn't apply, that monetary issues. We assume the woman wasn't raped. That's only when the Jews are in control of the government. Because then the goyim, if their Beis Din controls, right? If the Beis Din is told that these goyim raped the girl, they're not going to get the money back. Beis Din will punish them. So then we're afraid because they did it only for money, to get her money, so they're not going to rape her. But if Goyim control the land, the Goyim are not going to be afraid to rape her. What are the Goyish courts will still give them the money. So then it wouldn't apply. I feel like they moment, even if it's money, Asura Labala. Because when they control the land, the Goyim know they have a free hand to do with whatever they want with the Jewish women. So therefore, even if it's money, we don't believe them. So Rav Nachman, Rav Shmuel B'Yitzchak says the name of Rav, our Mishnah, that says if it's monetary, she can still stay married to her husband because we're not afraid that they raped her, is only when the Jewish government controls it, when Bezdin controlled the land. If Bezdin didn't control the land, the Goyim controlled the land, the din doesn't apply. So it says, Masiv Rav asked a question on this din. It says like this, Hey, Rabbi Yisya Kain, Rabbi Schaye ben Akatsif. Rabbi Yisya Kain, Rabbi Schaye ben, the butcher, his father was a butcher. They testified, Al Bas Yisrael, Sherhur Honu, Ba'ashkalain, on this woman who pledged herself. The idols, she pledged herself as security for a debt. Meaning like this. There was a case in Ashkelon. We'll see why the Gemara uses the city Ashkelon. This woman owed money, or the husband owed money to these goyim, and she pledged herself as collateral for the debt. Okay? What happens? V'nichaku b'nei mishpachta. Her family threw her out. Meaning like this. She was married, this is the way Rashi describes the case. She was married to a kohen. This girl was married to a kohen. The family owed these goyim money. She pledged herself as security to the goyim. The family therefore threw her out. He said, you definitely were defiled by the goyim. You're a kohen. That's it. And then what happens? The Eidim Eidin Eisa and two witnesses testify, Shalei Nistarav or Shalei Nitma. She was never privately with them, and she did not become Tommy from the Goyim. You hear this? The family threw her out. They said, you were defiled by the Goyim. Two witnesses testify she was never defiled. So Bezdin said, V'amalam chachamim. And the Bezdin said to her family, listen, Im atem aminim shuhurano, if you believe that she pledged herself, you have mino shlei nistar of a shlei nitma. Okay? In other words, he said like this, basically, it's almost similar to the concept of Peshas and Peshehitev. He said to her like this, you believe that she was pledged? In other words, who said she was pledged? She did. If you believe it that she was pledged, you have to believe it that she was not tummy. If you believe it, if you say she wasn't pledged, in other words, it's Peshas and Peshehitev. She says, I was pledged, but I'm tahor. And in fact, the Edom said that. She would never went there. So he said to the family, why are you throwing them out? If you believe it that she pledged herself to the guy, which you only know from her, then you have to believe it that she wasn't. And if you don't believe her, so don't believe it that she was pledged to the guy, since she never was with the guy. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. This was for money. She pledged herself for a debt. Yeah? And yet, the rabbi said that you believe her. Correct? But Rav said that if the goyim control the country, even for money, we don't believe her. Yeah? So the Gemara says, Ashkelon, in that time, the city of Ashkelon was the Yad Evdik Chavim Takif Alatzma. The goyim controlled the land. And yet, Uktani, yet the Mishnah says, Horanu in, if she pledged herself, we need the witnesses to render her permissible. Nech b'shah, but she was imprisoned against the will? No. Because again, it's Peshas and Peshit. So the Gemara's question is, Rav said a din, that if the goyim control the land, even for monetary things, right? If she's captured by goyim, she was Isur. So he says, 1 minute. Ashkelon was controlled by Goyim. Okay? And the only reason he says you believe the witness is because she says she pledged herself. But if the Goyim took her, she doesn't even require the witnesses because Peshos and Peshiyatin. So, L'chayra, it's a contradictory to Rav. In other words, even Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said the name of Rav. If Goyim control the land, even in monetary issues, she's not kosher for the Kohen. Right? And here it says clearly that she would be kosher for the Kohen.
Only if she in herself testified that she pledged herself. If she didn't...
No. Over there with two witnesses. It says she's torn. But the Gemara says, what's the case over there? She pledged herself. That's why you needed two witnesses. Which implies that if she didn't pledge herself... Because, listen, when she pledges herself, it means she's going willingly to them. Why did the family dump her? The family...
What do you mean pledge herself?
She says, take me as a collateral for the debt I owe
nothing
you.
Nothing would happen to her until the debt, when the debt is not paid.
Well, we don't know. The question now, was this woman violated or not? Two witnesses say she wasn't violated. But that's only because there's a reason to think she was, because she gave herself willingly to them. Right? So obviously they're going to fool around with her. That's why you need the two witnesses. Which implies that if she was captured by Goyim, she wouldn't need the two witnesses, because we assume that for mandatory things, they're not going to rape her. But the bottom line is, Ashkelon was ruled by Goyim. And according to Rav, if you're ruled by Goyim, the monetary difference doesn't matter. Even if it's for money, they're going to do it. So the Gemara says, no. Who adin afil nech b'shah? The same thing applies even if she was done taken against the will. Okay? The same thing. But why do they say that case? Ma'isa shahoyu kachoyu. That happens to be the story. That's the story that happened. The fact was she pledged herself. But there wouldn't be a difference if she was taken or she was pledged. The din would be that if the Goyim control the land, she's no good. The only reason why she's good is because two witnesses came and testified. If the two witnesses wouldn't testify, she wouldn't be good.
Even if she volunteered that information, otherwise they would have known. She herself, like Tesha, she volunteered that information.
Well, the rabbi said to the girl, the rabbi said to the family, if you believe her that she was pledged, then you have to believe that she wasn't touched.
Yeah.
But the Gemara seems to imply that's only in a case where she pledged herself. Right? But if she didn't pledge herself, then they wouldn't be believed. So that's it. No, then you wouldn't need the two witnesses. She would be... But according to Rav, she shouldn't be kosher because the Goyim controlled Ashkelon. And if the Goyim control Ashkelon...
Even if she volunteers that information, she won't be
believed. Right. Right. In other words, like he explains it at the bottom of it, he says like this. A woman who pledges herself, like he says, she says, I'm the collateral. That means she becomes their property. Halachically, the collateral becomes yours. Right? So the Goyim are going to do with her whatever she wants. She's theirs. Right? But if she was grabbed by the Goyim, then halachically she's not there, she's not the collateral. So then the question is, are we afraid she did it? So the Gemara said a ruling that if it's monetary, they're not going to rape her because they're going to lose the money. Yeah? But if it's Goyim, they will lose the money. Ashkelon was ruled by Goyim. So if the two witnesses didn't come to testify she's okay, she wouldn't be okay. Because if Goyim controlled the land, even though they took it for monetary things, she wouldn't be allowed to stay married to her husband. Well, I mean, the Gemara is going to explain later. I mean, there's another interesting thing over here. If a married woman, was raped, not a wife of a kohen, okay? She could stay married. If she willingly did it, if she willingly committed adultery, she can't stay married to the husband. She can't even marry the guy either. If the husband dies or divorces her, she's not allowed to marry that other guy either. But even if it's a goy, by the way. If a woman willingly went with a goy, she can't stay married to the husband. What's interesting though, if she got pregnant from the goy, the kid's not a mamzer. If she got pregnant from a Jew, the kid would be a mamzer. But regardless, she can't stay married to the husband.
Wow, that's a crazy case.
Huh?
It's crazy.
So this...
One second. A lot of times, I mean, a lot of the rabbis today do... I mean, it's a big rabbi. If a guy's a non-from family for a few generations, yeah, they assume today the guy's not a Korean. Why? So probably they were living with a girl that was on campus with a goy, and then they married this girl, and she was probably with a goy before, whatever. They know, how do you know he's a kosher kohen? Look at bottom line, how do you know he's a kohen? Because the tombstone, you know, it's not from family, not that they always, duchen, they had the Berchus kohenim and they had aliyahs, you know? They never did anything. How do you know they're a kohen? And then there's a doubt, maybe one of the ladies along the way were not a kosher kohen, and this is, so the kid's not a kohen. That's what they do. But a guy's from, it's very difficult to disqualify him from being a kohen. So he said, what should I do? I said, I don't know what to tell you to do. Convince him not to marry her.
But this guy's 39 and he's never was from before, right?
He wasn't from for a long time.
So he's going to do what he's going to do. It doesn't make his
wife. I understand. Him. But, of course, what to do with the case? It's a problem.
So you can't even do anything about it.
Nobody can do anything about it.
It's qualified.
Then she's, he told me, she's checking out. Maybe the guy she was married to is a Jew. I said, first of all, it's not happening. Second, even if, yeah.
Still, the father.
The father's a guy. Well, if you know, he's a Jew.
The girl's father was not Jewish. The girl's mother's Jewish. She lived with a guy. Had a kid with him. Okay. Well. Hi.
Complicated.
What?
Even if the husband was Jewish, then the question of if they had a proper get, and then him marrying, or even the parent, maybe becomes even more of a problem in that case.
Not necessarily, because if the first husband was a Jew, and he probably didn't have a kosher chuppah, right? Then she's not asur l'kohen. Because she wasn't with a guy, with a Jew, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
And she never needed a get. So if they paskin, they don't need a get.
Right. So it would have been better if this husband was Jewish.
Yeah, if the guy she lived with was a Jewish, then the only issue would be that her father's not a Jew.
Kill the father.
Still do it, too late. Too late. Kill the girl, if anything.
Yeah.
No, the guy called me today. Today.
Makes no difference if the father is alive or
not. No. Much doesn't matter. The father's a guy, the father's a guy. You can't marry.
Gemara asked that question.
It's not going to change the situation, though.
Right.
But this is light, the common stuff today.
You get those questions a lot of times?
Similar things to that. Okay. Okay, so now the Gemara, just start this at least. Now the Gemara is a different version to Rav's question. Now, the way our version of Gemara is Rav asked a question on Rav. So now the Gemara just reverses the whole thing, that it's not a question, it's a proof to Rav. So we learned the same case, the Gemara is going through the case again. He testified about this Bas Yisrael, this Jewish girl who pledged herself to the idol worshippers in Ashkelon. And the family threw her out. And the witnesses testified she was never with the guy. She didn't seclude herself, was not violated, nothing. The Chacham said, if you believe that she pledged herself, and if you don't believe that she wasn't not violated, don't believe that she pledged herself. But again, the question is, Ashkelon was through money, right? The case of Ashkelon was because of money. And the only reason why she was allowed, because witnesses testified that she wasn't violated. Which means, if there are no witnesses, then we assume she was violated. That's exactly what Rav says. Right? Instead of asking a question, Mar is now proving it, like Rav. Because the whole reason this girl is kosher to the husband, the Chacham said, because two witnesses testified that she wasn't touched. Which means if there were no witnesses, we wouldn't allow her to stay married to the husband. Why? It's monetary. Because the Goyim ruled it. So the Gemara answers, Lehura Nishani. Over there, pledged herself is different. Because she pledged herself, she became the property. Okay? Because she became the property of the idol worshippers, that's why she would be forbidden, because she willingly did it. So over there you need the witnesses. But if it wasn't, if she was taken away, then if it's monetary, the goyim wouldn't believe it anyway. I mean, maybe you wouldn't believe, even if the goyim are in control, she might still be permitted for the husband. Okay, this will be here.